Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two verses and a chorus shy of a hit song. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino.
And the Music Road Show.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're glad that you're back with us.
Indeed we are. Make sure that follow us on the Facebooks and the Twitters, and you can actually get on Facebook right now and / the Music Row Show and join in the conversation if you have any questions or anything like that. We'd love to hear from you.
That's right. That's right. Well, it's kind of a sad occasion tonight, isn't it?
It is. It is. This is our last show with producer Logan. And he started out with us 10 years ago as intern Logan. You first met him as intern Logan.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Little shaved head boy with the glasses.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's not a shaved head boy anymore.
Yeah.
No.
He doesn't shave anything. Look at that. Looks like the wolf man.
Yeah. Well, he's moving out to the West Coast, so we're going to miss him, you know, here pushing all the buttons for us and making us sound
pushing
great.
All of our buttons.
Pushing all of our buttons. We hate to say goodbye, but we wish you the very best for the future. Absolutely.
Yeah, we do. Thanks for the last 10 years, boy. All right, let's get to it. Hino, tell us about tonight's guest.
All right. Well, we love having Chris Wallen on the show because he's just an amazing talent and one of Nashville's best songwriters and most sought-after songwriters. His hits include classics, or soon-to-be classics, I would say, like Love Me If You Can by Toby Keith, mm-hmm. Don't Blink, and Got a Little Crazy for Kenny Chesney, I'm Trying for Trace Atkins, Something to Be Proud Of, and Speed for Montgomery Gentry, and People Loving People for Garth Brooks, and just a whole lot more songs. So he's gearing up with his lovely wife, Camille, who's also here with us tonight.
Yes, she is.
For a 2018 Hit Songwriters Western Caribbean Cruise, which sounds like fun. And we're hoping that we can find a way to sneak ourselves into one of their suitcases or something like that. But Chris Wallen, Camille Wallen, welcome to the Music Row Show.
Yay!
Glad you're back.
Woo!
There's no room in my shoe bag, I promise.
Yeah, that's right.
I can already
you can
tell.
Forget that.
Yeah, forget that. Yeah. Eight trunks is the limit, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-uh.
But we can talk during the breaks because I figured out how to sneak liquor in.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, really?
Yeah.
You mean onto the ship?
Yeah.
Oh.
Hello. Now all of a sudden, now you want to talk to me.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Hit Songwriter Cruise. This is kind of a big deal. So who's coming? Who all's going to be on it? And what's it all about?
The speakers are as follows.
Get on into that microphone. We want to hear everything you have to say.
I should know this.
Ah, you're doing great.
I've been playing music my whole life.
Yeah.
The speakers are in order of last name because I don't want to offend anyone.
Right.
Mm. Aaron Barker, I'm sure he's on the first of every list ever.
Right.
He's old AB, we call him. Odie Blackman, mm-hmm. Ira Dean. And, of course, I can't remember my name if I don't have it tattooed on the paper. Dean Dillon, Steve Seskin, Jeffrey Steele, Chris Wallen, and Daryl Worley.
Just a bunch of hacks.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know.
Wow.
And, you know, Aaron is, like, really close friends of ours, and I had no idea how many hits he has. Actually, we got to looking at the numbers, and the eight speakers represent 65 number ones.
Wow.
And well over 150 top tens. And if I remember the numbers right, and I could totally be wrong about this, but if I remember the numbers right, we're right at around the 5,000 mark of any number one song in the history of music.
Wow.
That means we're over 1%.
Yikes.
I was like, wow, that number really changes your thinking.
Wow.
There's only been around 5,000 number ones in the history of all music.
Okay.
If that number is correct, I didn't double check with the source of that, but I know the source is really good for those kind of statistics.
Well, that's what they told me when I got my first number one.
We got a Facebook message from listener Beethoven who says they weren't counting back then.
No, that's true.
That doesn't count. Yeah.
Hey,
that
Beethoven.
Is true.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, Beethoven.
Yes. Yeah.
And he's deaf, so go figure. Yeah. He puts the radio on the ground and puts his ear on the ground.
That's right.
So you don't have to be a hit songwriter to be on the cruise, though, right?
No, absolutely not. As a matter of fact, we actually have three ticket types. The first one is the fan package, which is just come to all the shows. There's going to be as many as six shows. There's going to be five kind of regular songwriter play music shows. And then we're going to have a sixth performance that's going to be stories we shouldn't tell.
We're
going to
talk about that later. Yeah, I have a question about that.
And then we're also having, you know, we have a welcome and farewell reception. I'd like to trip over my tongue today. we're going to have after hours guitar pulls and dinner. We're going to actually rotate our speakers to different dinner tables with each group every night.
Nice.
On the ship.
So you'll be able to sit and have dinner actually with them. Dine with most of the speakers.
Right.
There. Yeah.
And if you've never dined with a songwriter, let me tell you.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Aaron doesn't eat much, so.
Right. Yeah.
Well, he does. It's just always Bluebell ice cream.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
Get him to hook us up.
Right.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that's awesome. So is there any sort of like audition process or anything for songwriters who want to come onto the cruise?
Okay, so wait a minute. Those are just fans. Those are just people that want to come to the shows, want to have a great experience. We're going to get, we have limited amount of people that we want on that we can use on have on the cruise. The cruise, actually, the ship holds 3,600 and some odd number, but we've limited it to 400 just so that we can give them the better experience.
Sure.
We don't want anybody to be kind of left out of the theme.
All right, so there's the fan pack.
Okay, and then the songwriter seminar pack.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of an upcharge, and then you get all of the fan pack plus seminars, and you also can enter the song contest.
Okay.
Yes.
Which is done ahead of time, so that by the time we get on ship, we already know who's.
You already know the winners,
and the prizes are fantastic. The first prize winner gets first, second, and third prize winners get new guitars, and the winning song gets performed on the ship, and a single song pub deal. And I was going to talk to you because we had talked about who said they would do that. And I was going to write it down because I can't remember anything anymore.
It's somebody really.
But yes, it's somebody very well known.
Very
you
well.
Know
yeah.
him. So,
we just don't remember him.
Just at the moment, my brain has gone on hold.
Yeah.
To be
and a songwriting
Pete
session.
Announced.
Pete
later.
Publisher.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a songwriting session with Chris here in Nashville after
nice.
The fact.
Please there don't let that deter you from actually
right.
the contest.
And that's the seminar package. It includes all of the fan package plus the seminar package. And then there's a third one that is the seminar and fan package. And you get a private one-on-one critique of a song.
Of one of the hit songwriters.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's just another little upcharge to...
Yeah.
To, because we don't want to... Because it's one-on-one, it's also limited to 16 people.
Right.
Because we don't want to use up so much time of just one-on-ones. We want people to experience everything. So. Yeah.
Sure. No, that makes sense. Let's talk about critiques and seminars. Chris, what in your mind, what part of songwriting can be taught and what can't?
Well, I mean, the thing about it is you know, it. To break rules in songwriting, you kind of have to know them first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you have to know, you know, when to break them. And this is basically, you know, we want people to, because, you know, when I was coming up, man, I wished I had access to some of these guys.
Right.
You know, somebody that had, you know, Dean Dillon has had, if I'm not mistaken, it's around 51 George Strait cuts. Just George Strait.
60,
yeah.
60 was 61.
Yeah.
60,
so,
61, yeah.
And, you know, and so we're just trying to give people, you know, a little insight on people who have actually done it and have had a number one song. Because that's the thing is, you know, a lot of people can go get a critique, but in you know, and maybe listen to panels and, you know, here and there. But I don't know of anybody that has the concentration that we're going to have on this ship.
Because it's such a small group
in
each of these things. That's amazing. Yeah.
So I just wanted to make it, you know, like I said, it's one thing to have someone, you know, tell you about your song and give you a critique. It's another to actually have someone who's had a number one song who's actually done it before.
Right.
And that's what I wanted to provide on this
That's
trip.
Great.
Well, a lot of times you can learn a lot more from, I don't want to say negative critique, but, you know, somebody pointing out what you've done wrong than if somebody just said, oh, that's great, you know, and then you don't really learn much from that.
Right, right. And you know, we actually, we played around with having a part of the seminar that was just called The Bitter Truth. You had to pay extra.
Yeah.
For the bitter
because
truth.
Because that is the bitter
because
truth.
Because that is the bitter truth.
Yeah.
Secret fourth tier package.
Yes.
That's at 3 a.m. at the Lido Deck Bar.
Drinks are on you.
Drinks are on you.
Exactly.
And you get the bitter, bitter truth.
Oh man.
Well, okay, so what part, let's go back to the question, what part of songwriting do you think is more inherent or more just either you can do it or you can't? Because you're talking more about the mechanics and the rules and the mechanics.
Just the feel. I mean, sometimes when you're writing a song, like I can tell you, you know, I have two lines. And I can tell you this line works better than this line.
Can you give an example?
But I, you know, sometimes you really don't know why sometimes. It's just, you know, I've written, I think I'm pretty close to 1,200 songs.
Wow.
And after, you know, there's something that you just, if you do something for a long period of time every day, you know, it's just like anything else. You learn tricks and you learn, you know. One thing I will say that's really hard to do is, and I've said this before, but it's real, the hardest thing to do in songwriting is to take a great line and take it out of the song and replace it with the right line.
Oh, yeah, because it's a great line.
Yeah.
About that. Okay.
Well, you think, you know, you have this great line and you think, oh my God, this is just, you know, people are going to pass, songwriters are going to pass out when they hear this line. And you try to make this line and, you know, and you try to put it in this song. And and after a while, you realize that it's actually probably another song. And you just put a very clear line that is simple.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's the best.
You have to serve the song.
Yes. The song always comes first, you know, and sometimes you get caught up in the lines and but it's what's best for the song.
So then do you keep a running list of those great lines that didn't make it into another song? You're like, I'm going to use that somewhere else.
I have done that.
Yeah.
I have done that before.
Can you just string them all together and make a song out of it, you know? Doesn't have to make sense.
The great line song.
Yeah, I think, you know, don't bend over in the garden, granny, those taters have eyes. I think that's one that I...
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm having visions right now.
I live with this every day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, okay, so here's a kind of a weird question. Let's say you're in a co-write and you have that great line and you're forcing it into a song and you finally go, this isn't the right line, and you take it out, but you were already working that line with your co-writer. Do you then save that line for the next time you're writing with that person, or is that understood that since you came in with it? I know we're getting into the weeds here.
Yeah,
but
it really is. It's there's a whole, I mean, if it was my idea that I maybe already had before I came in there.
Right. It isn't that you guys both said, oh, what about this line?
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
But you have to be careful because copyright law, I mean, it could come back and haunt you because it's about, a lot of people think that the actual, a lot of people think that the actual copyright is like when you, it's called a PA form for the Library of Congress. Mm-hmm. The actual copyright is when you put it down on a medium and you can prove that.
Right. And which any Word document.
Exactly.
Word or, you can or recording date. Or
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah. So that's the actual copyright. It isn't, you know, if you can't prove that and someone else, you know, does a PA form, yeah. But if the actual copyright is when you write it down. So yeah, that's kind of where it comes in, where you kind of maybe have to be a little diplomatic or know your co-writer, you know. Speaking of that, one of the things that we're maybe, we may end up in the weeds on, I don't know. part of this trip, we're going to try what I've got some emails that are coming back from them, but I've got in touch with the Guinness Book of World Records.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to try to write the song with the most co-writers in the world.
Wow.
On this trip. We're going to have a mass co-writing session.
As far as we can tell, there is no category for it at this time.
Yeah, there isn't.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wow. There's actually a category for the most co-writers on a film.
Uh-huh.
But not a song.
I want to be in the office of the poor accountant. Let's say that ends up being on streaming or something. And somebody that's got to split 0.0000028 cents 47 ways, you know?
The demo is going to be
47. We want 400.
however many
400.
Ways,
you know? Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. The demo is going to be cheap for everybody.
You know, it's going to be awesome.
Let's take a break. This segment was brought to you by Barbara Potter Photography. I discovered her just because I was looking at photos that they just kind of started showing up a couple years ago, and I'd go, wow. Because I knew
that.
Yeah. Because I knew these artists, and I'm going, man, she got that person. That was just such a great shot. And we started talking, and she did my CD and my website artwork, and then she did my kids' graduation pictures. Mm-hmm. You know, she did your wife's boudoir pictures.
Right.
And
right.
Which you haven't seen yet. But they're really, really good. Anyway, she does just incredible stuff. I know.
Well, let's hope so. You can find her at Barbara Potter.
Barbara
got me all flustered now.
Bobby Osborne Photography.
Barbara Potter Photography.com is where you can find her. And we are going to be back with a whole lot more of Chris and Camille Wallen here on the Music Row Show.
Takes time to put out a wildfire. A mountain top means you can't climb no higher. We ran that road, we ran out of mine. At least we had forever for a while.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's Forever for a While. Chris Wallen, our guest here tonight, along with his lovely wife, Camille.
What a cool groove on that.
I like that.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Now, you're. is it true you're kind of working on a new CD project for yourself?
I am. That was one of the songs on it. And I'm currently trying to get some new stuff out there and go in the studio and do some. I'm actually going to, on this time, I'm going to do a couple that's just me and a guitar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I just kind of do a, you know, I think I'm going to call it Leave Something Behind. Mm-hmm. There's actually a song on there called Leave Something Behind. And as a songwriter, that's, you know, you can not have a dime to your name. And I think in the deep down in all songwriters, we just want to leave something behind that wasn't there before we came.
Right.
And that people remember.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that.
Wow, you know? That's true. That's amazing. True.
So when you put together a project for yourself, are you tempted to just kind of put the hits on there, or do you want to put in stuff that hasn't been hit so that you can get it out there?
Well, a few years ago, I did a CD, and I put a lot of the hits and stuff on there, some of the hits, and there's going to be some actually cuts on here that just are my take of the cut, but this is more for me, I think this is going to be a CD for just the kind of stuff I love.
That's
the songs I came here to write. Really.
Nice.
Very cool. You know what we didn't do the last segment is tell anybody how to look up this cruise.
Yeah, I know. I thought of that too.
Sorry, Camille.
Hey, Camille. Cruise. Go to the cruise. Yeah.
I had so much information to put out there.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you where to go.
There's certainly a website, isn't
there?
Yes,
there is.
Absolutely. You go to hitsongwriterscruise.com.
Let Camille talk. She's here. She's here to talk. We're not here to talk. Camille, what's the website?
It's hitsongwritercruise.com.
That's what I said.
It's hitsongwritercruise.com. Totally. There's also an 800 number. It's 844-564-6317.
Say that one more time.
844-564-6317.
Okay.
And in case you have trouble
Pick
getting the website.
Pick up the phone. Oh, wait a minute. No, that's the different thing.
Empire.
We're going to end up back at that earlier discussion.
About Granny and the Taters. Why don't you play us a song, would you?
Well, sure.
You got that guitar right there.
I have one right here.
Oh, yeah. We can hear it and everything.
Okay. This song, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed a number one with this song, but the best thing about this song is that when it went number one, I also had the song that it knocked out of number one.
Wow.
So I was actually number one and number two, and then number two and number one.
That's kind of cool.
So, yeah. Turn on the evening news to an old man being interviewed. Turn 102 today. When they asked him the secret of life, he looked up from his old pipe. He said, all I can say is don't blink. Just like that, you're 6 years old and you take a nap. Wake up and you're 25. Your high school sweetheart becomes your wife. Don't blink, cause you just might miss your babies growing like mine did. Turning into moms and dads. Next thing you know, you better have 50 years is there in bed. You're praying God takes you instead. Yeah, trust me, friend, 100 years goes faster than you think. So don't blink. Don't blink. I was glued to my TV when the old man looks right at me. Best start putting your first things first. Cause when your hourglass runs out of sand, you can't flip it over and start again. Take every breath God gives you for what it's worth, boy. And don't blink. Just like that, you're 6 years old and you're taking a nap. And you wake up and you're 25. Your high school sweetheart becomes your wife. Don't blink, cause you just might miss your babies growing like mine did. Turning into moms and dads. Next thing you know, you better have 50 years. Is there in bed?
You pray and God takes you instead. And trust me, friend, 100 years goes faster than you think. So don't blink. So I've been trying to slow it down. I've been trying to take it in. And it's here today, gone tomorrow, world we're living in. Don't blink. Whatever you do, don't blink.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
So good.
Very
so
nice.
Good.
Good advice, too.
Love me if you can.
Number one, that's another conversation.
Sorry.
But
love me.
You want to do this on the air?
Love me, I mean, Chris.
Okay.
It was a big number one hit for Toby.
Yes.
But originally cut by Trace Atkins.
Yes.
And not added to the album. Talk about riding the wave of hope and disappointment, and hope and disappointment as a songwriter.
I got the idea for "Love Me If You Can" on the Jerry Springer Show.
You were on the Jerry Springer
show? No, I was looking for family.
Just checking.
The Jerry Springer
just checking. But, Uncle Earl?
I was flipping through, and I saw this guy on Jerry Springer, and they were booing him from the crowd, and evidently he didn't know the show was going on because he didn't have a shirt on.
It happens.
And he was getting ready to get up on stage, and he turned around and he said, "Hey, y'all, you can hate me if you want to, but love me if you can." And he goes, "I'm just a man." And so I got the idea and went and wrote it the next day with buddy Craig Wiseman. And 5 years go by, nothing. Didn't, nobody even put it on hold or anything. Nobody even was looking at it. And I got a phone call that said, that song... I said, "Hey, Trace Atkins just cut your song."
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "Oh my gosh, somebody finally cut that song." And it never made the album.
Right.
And so about, gosh, I guess it was 6 months after that, I got a call. "Toby Keith cut your song." And ended up going number one.
But that's not it's not unusual for you to get your hopes up. You hear this is happening,
gosh, no.
And then it doesn't happen. Oh. And this happens. And
my first was going to be my first cut that I'd ever gotten. I was with a publishing company. My first publishing company was with Corlew Music Group. My second publishing company was Corlew Music Group. My first was King Lizard Music.
Mm-hmm.
It was Liz Rose,
right,
and Kingsley Brock, but what would have been my first cut was Tracy Lawrence, and I had this song called Metropolis, and and everybody, he cut this song and we were all excited, high fiving, and I actually met the person who was doing his album art. This tells you, it's album art.
Right, right.
Yeah, that tells
back
you how
then,
it's been a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, I talked to this girl, and she goes, "Oh yeah, the song's called Metropolis, and we're doing this whole thing in on the album art where it looks like a small town and it morphs into a big city. And it's really cool." And
so the album art was going to be based
on
this song.
It was going to be the title.
So you're
cut.
Like,
"Oh my gosh,
cut
yeah.
the check. Here
oh,
we
yeah.
go.
It's going to be the title cut." And they told us that it has changed the whole face of the album. This song has, that people are freaking out over.
Uh-huh.
2 weeks later, never makes the album.
Oh,
2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. And evidently, it changed the whole face of the album to go on to another song.
Right.
Yeah. They left that part off
yeah,
when they
yeah,
were telling
exactly.
you about it.
Yeah. I mean,
it seems more or it used to, it seems like it used to be more common for multiple artists to cut the same song and even put it out. I mean, like, who did Friends in Low Places? Mark Chestnut did that first, you know, before Garth did. That doesn't seem to happen as much anymore. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think one thing is I think there's a lot more songwriters than as far as trying to, you know, to do it. You know, I think there's a lot more now than there ever was.
Isn't that ironic? Because now there's less and less money to be made.
Now there's less and less money. There's more songwriters. I know.
Yay.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a whole thing, too, about, you know, radio stations and, you know, and who they're owned by. And there's it's less, you know. You have someone who owns 40 radio stations, a group, and they're going to play, you know, if they're 40 country stations, they're going to play a lot of the same stuff.
Right.
Where normally those were
more diversified
and you're going to have, they're going to be playing different stuff, and it was easier for a song to get on the station than it is.
Because you had 40 shots. Exactly. Now you've got one shot to
now
get on 40
one,
stations.
And if they say no, that's it.
Yeah. Right.
And they, you know, they might, you know, be the reason if they drop a song, some of these conglomerates, if they drop a song, that song's...
Womp, womp.
Yeah, that song's not going to, you know, top five or whatever.
Right.
But,
interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So
but that's business everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Progress can be a double-edged sword.
Yep. Indeed.
Well, we need to take a quick break to ponder that right now, that very deep thought. But we are going to be back with more of Chris Wallen and his lovely wife, Camille Wallen. And we're going to talk hit songs and boats and all kinds of things when we come back. So come on back to the Music Row Show. I had to wait for the hook. That was awesome. We're here with hit songwriter Chris Wallen. That, of course, is Any Old Thing She Loves. I like that
a
lot.
That's a good song.
That's
thank you.
I hear Trace Atkins singing that. But then you sound a lot like him, I think. So, yeah.
I'm sure Trace is listening. He's such a fan of the show. Yeah, big fan.
That's why we had to stop taking calls, because he was just always calling.
Always calling. Trace again.
Oh, man.
Wow. Chris Wallen's here. Camille Wallen's here. They have a cruise coming up in February, the Hit Songwriter Cruise. The website is hitsongwritercruise.com. Very exciting. There's going to be Aaron Barker. There's going to be Jeffrey Steele, Dean Dillon, Odie Blackman, Steve Seskin, Chris Wallen,
Daryl
Worley.
Ira Dean.
He's gonna give a seminar on how to write a bass. It's going to be something else. Everybody else is songwriting. He's going to be bass writing.
Yeah. Did you get all those guys? I don't remember. here's
a little insight on how good of a bass player my wife Camille is. She plays bass for Ira Dean.
Whoa.
What?
Whoa. Yeah.
That's a huge compliment.
Wow. That is awesome.
Tells you a little something.
So over the years, we've heard actually several songwriters talk about how they spent years, you know, chasing the radio, and it just wasn't happening. You know, they were trying to write what they thought the radio wanted, and right about the time they said, ah, forget it, I'm just going to write whatever I want, that's when things started happening for them. So as a writer, how did that work for you, and did you ever have to straddle that line between writing what you wanted to write and what you thought the market wanted?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I... The thing about it is you, in a song, there, you always come to a crossroads in almost every song of what you think that song, particular song, should be, and whether you're going to be true to that. So sometimes that song is a ditty. Sometimes that song is, you know, but it's a struggle, because you can, it is possible to do both, to be commercial and artistic, but it's really hard. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if I only wrote the kind of songs that I wanted to write, like I started off writing before, I would kill someone in every song.
Yeah.
I would put the killing back in country.
Yeah.
Because, he did. Yeah, yeah.
But that's the type of stuff I love. I love 3-minute movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a couple in this CD, I think. But nice. But when you do it for a living, and that's how you
eat.
That's how you eat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, you have to have a balance. You really do. You have to, you know, have a balance of actually making money, because I don't care what anybody tells you, if you get a writing deal, you're there not because you're a nice person, not because, you know, you're there because
cute.
They think, well, some for me.
Well, you, it's always been about the cute factor. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
But for anyone else, you're there because that person, that publisher, thinks that you're going to make them money in the future.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be right then, but sometime they see something, and that's what it's about. I mean, it's business.
Mm-hmm.
And but I always have to come back, you know, I have to write at least one song every now and then that is just 100% me.
Yeah.
And you know, and usually those are the songs that I will play out.
Yeah.
You know, that are, that I, as me as a quote unquote artist.
Yeah.
You know, that's the type of stuff I love. I love songs that, that you can close your eyes and see the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had a guy on a few months ago. I won't say who it was, because this was said during the break, but he just said, look, if I don't write these songs with these artists, because that's what it's about right now, he goes, somebody else will.
That's right.
And I still got to feed my family. So yeah. It's, you know, I'm going to go ahead and do what I got to do. And I, so it's totally understandable.
Yeah. And it's a double-edged sword. I used to hate that. Like, back in the day, I mean, I didn't write with artists because it pigeonholes your creativity, for one thing. You're, mm-hmm. You go in there and you might have this thing in your head that's just really cool. Well, you know, you go in there and whether or not they have all the ballads they need, they have to write an up tempo. Okay,
right.
You change.
Or I would never. I could never say that.
I could never say that.
It's
because
bad
of this,
for my
this
brand.
Isn't me.
This yeah. isn't the brand.
Yeah, and I mean, it's, you know, it, but nowadays,
you got to.
And if you don't, yeah, I spend some time on a tour bus. You know, I go mm-hmm. out and with some of my buddies here and there and write songs and you know, I mean, and you just do what you can do.
Yeah.
All right, well, listen, we got to take another break, one last break, but we're going to come back with some more of Chris Wallen here on The Music Row Show.
Mm-hmm. if I were your guitar. I'd be waiting in a corner just for you, like an old friend that you lean on when you're blue, that you can't stand to lose. If I were your guitar, you'd never leave me out here in the cold. Your touch would be the only thing I know. You'd play me soft and slow if I were your guitar.
Very nice. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're here with hit songwriter Chris Wallen, and that is If I Were Your Guitar. I love that.
And why are we here with Chris Wallen today?
Because they're going on a cruise.
And let's just
that sounded funny. They're going on a cruise. You hit sound songwriter's
like,
cruise.
You sound like Chris Walken. You're going on a cruise. You know.
The hitsongwriterscruise.com is the website. You can find out all about it. But
should we address the elephant in the room?
There's an elephant in the room.
There really is.
Okay.
Okay, we'll go on the cruise.
Oh, that elephant.
And we'll do the show from the cruise.
You've twisted our arms.
It's just been uncomfortable.
It's out in the open.
The tension
now.
Is gone now.
Wow.
Speaking of this, we are looking for sponsors, and we had to restructure the sponsorship program because everybody wanted to go on the cruise. So the first three levels of sponsorships. Go on the cruise.
Go on the cruise.
Nice.
Yeah. Very are any of those levels of sponsorship free?
No. Darn the luck.
Darn it.
You know you're dealing with songwriters, right?
we have a young lady here sitting right behind me who is here in Nashville checking out Belmont, looking at chasing a music career.
Right.
So what is, and her parents are here as well. So what is the most valuable piece of advice you can give to any young person moving to Nashville and the most valuable piece of advice you can give to their parents?
Find what you do best. There's there's different kinds of songwriters. There's, you know, a songwriter isn't a songwriter isn't a songwriter. You have editors. You have people who just... you know, who are great money line
those idea people, guys.
Idea guys. You have people who are great at just spouting lines out, and they work great with an editor. And there's more than one different kind
melody.
Of songwriter.
And a groove.
Melody, yeah,
a groove
exactly.
guy.
Groove girl. Guy. Yeah. Yeah, there's so many different ways to do that. And you know, and I always say, just find out what you're bringing to the table. Find out what you think your thing is.
Mm-hmm.
And you get great at that. And because that's what's going to make you special. And to her parents, I'm sorry. And
it's not too late to lock her in her room.
No, yes. I mean, you know, you need to hide her guitar and no.
Burn it. If I were your guitar.
It'll just make it worse.
I know it will.
It'll just make it worse.
My mother's favorite joke of all time was, you know what's behind a hit songwriter? An astonished mother-in-law.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, you... no, I mean, the thing about it is you're creating something that wasn't there. And it's songs and music is a lot more important than people think it is. People change their lives over a song. People, you know, decide to leave abusive relationships because of songs. Mm-hmm. People... you know, it's amazing how far a song and how deep a song can go, and you don't realize it, you know.
Yeah, there are people that start whole new lives based on.
Yeah, and that's the thing is people marginalize, you know.
Well, the value's gone. The value's left songs lately.
Right. Yeah, you're right. And And it's about one, you know, a lot of the songs are about one thing. Well, you know, maybe that one thing, even if it's a fun, you know, ditty of a song, it's the backdrop of someone's life. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, and so I say, if, you know, if you can bring something in the world that wasn't there before, you do it, no matter what.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's going to mean something to somebody.
So that's funny, because I think a lot of the songs that I consider the backdrop of my life and growing up, and songs that I gravitate to, have been ditties or the right. On the lighter yeah. side of things, yeah. you know? I mean, I don't always gravitate to the, you know, the capital D deep song, although I like yeah. them. You know, the right. ones that make me sing along and tap my toe, those are the ones that I can hear again and again and again and again and never get tired of.
Right.
You know?
Well, because nobody wants to take life that seriously. They yeah. they want to enjoy the backdrop of their life.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know. Some people like the sad stuff. I mean, there's something yeah. for everybody, you know? So.
Well, yeah, and a buddy of mine, I don't know if you know who Gary Portnoy is.
Yeah.
Gary's a New York songwriter, and he wrote with me back in the years and years ago at, not at King, yeah, King Lizard Music. Mm-hmm. And he wrote the Cheers theme. Everybody Knows Your Name. Today. And that's him singing it as well.
Oh, takes okay. everything you got.
Yeah. Yeah.
Netflix. I've been binging it.
I have been. I have
so
been
funny
too.
You said
actually,
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's one song, and it, you know, and he was saying how, you know, he's written a bunch of other stuff as well, but you know, that song is, I mean, it's so well known. I mean, it's yeah. it's crazy how well known that song is, and it set him up. You know, that was one.
Sure.
Song.
Well, if you're gonna have only one hit,
yeah,
make it a good one. You yeah. know, make it something
well, it
like
never
that.
Never was a hit.
Oh yeah, but it's still
it
being
was,
shown.
Was, yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's
the show
it's
was
made
a hit.
Him
yeah.
probably 10 times more than any hit.
Yeah,
if
yeah.
it was on the radio, you know.
Wow.
So this question could actually go for both of you. What's your favorite? Oh, that could only have happened in Nashville. Story that you've experienced over the years.
Oh,
you know,
bring that right at the very end of the
at
show.
The very end.
Yeah, we got 3 minutes.
I know. There's a few. There's
Dennis Morgan.
Oh no. Yeah. Yeah, there's that story. Yeah, I'm kind of an idiot, but I've done that.
That can happen anywhere. Honey.
You're a good company. Yeah. Yeah.
The Dennis Morgan story is I was I just got my first deal, and I was at the Broken Spoke Cafe where Camille and I met,
and
we was at the bar, and this guy came in. Disheveled hat. He kind of looked like a homeless Sasquatch. Okay, no offense.
No offense, Logan.
But he came in and he sit down and, you know, and I said, "How you doing, man?" He said, "Oh, I'm doing good." He said, "I just flew in." I thought,
first
oh,
time
cool.
here.
First time here. I said, "You a songwriter?" "Yeah, I'm a songwriter." I said, "Well, welcome to Nashville, man." I went on because I was feeling full of myself. I got my first deal,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, "You know, well, you know, some of us get to do it for a living. You know, we're just, I mean, oh, I totally, dude,
yeah.
I totally just." And so he never said really anything. He talked back and forth, and well, Lee Roskinay, who did,
you look bad.
Oh, yeah, you look bad, Lee. He said, "Hey, Dennis, do you want to get up and do a song?" I said, "Oh, that's awesome." I said, "Lee already knows his name. That's so cool that he's getting the first day in town." And he gets up, and the first song he does is Smoky Mountain Rain. The second song he does is I Don't Want You Come Around Here No More, Beg You For Mercy, Rod Stewart. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, this poor guy has no idea you're not supposed to do covers in here. You're supposed to do your own songs. And he does, you know, You Can Eat Crackers in My Bed, Let Me Let Go.
Oh, man.
And at the time, what I didn't know was that was Dennis Morgan, one of the biggest songwriters in Nashville. And I just made an idiot out of myself. And I, by the time he got done, I was about an inch tall. And we did a Bluebird round together a while back, and I told him, he goes, I think I remembered that. I said, you said nothing. You gave me no clue. You let me just pull the rope.
Hear more stories like that. When you go on the cruise, hitsongwriterscruise.com.
Hitsongwritercruise.com.
Hitsongwritercruise.com. You guys are awesome. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
Well, producer Logan,
Music Row Show. Thank you.
Great job, man.